In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During our midweek Advent devotions, we have been looking at the women in the genealogy of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the genealogy of our Lord. We continue tonight by looking at Bathsheba. The text is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter, verses 1 and 6. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Thus far the gospel. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ comes into our world as a baby, but under the most unusual circumstances. There again, babies being born under unusual circumstances is maybe not all that unusual, I suppose. Jesus' birth is truly unique. Inasmuch as he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, which birth the Church has always understood as having allowed St. Mary to remain miraculously virgin. Most people didn't know that, however. Even Joseph assumed that this was the usual sort of unusual pregnancy until the Lord revealed to him otherwise. As we have considered the women named in St. Matthew's genealogy of Jesus in our midweek Advent services, we come tonight to the fourth one, Bathsheba. Bathsheba isn't even mentioned by name. We simply have an allusion to her. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Thus, St. Matthew draws our attention to still more of the sinfulness of the world that Jesus was born to redeem. If you look in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, you will find the whole sad story of a series of sins into which King David descended, culminating in adultery with Bathsheba, her becoming pregnant, and then David arranging the death of her husband in battle and marrying her to cover up his sin. The text of Holy Scripture is completely silent on the degree of Bathsheba's complicity in this sin. American culture kind of assumes that guys will be lecherous and women need to be the ones who will insist upon virtue. The Bible seems to expect that men will be the stronger ones, including in moral matters. Nathan, the prophet, confronted David with his sin. The kings of other nations are considered by their people to be gods in their own right. But Israel is a nation under the living God, even their king is subject to that God. For all of his horrific sin, David is still a man of faith. When confronted by the prophet, he doesn't argue. He doesn't plead mitigating circumstances. He doesn't do your typical American, "Oh, but I was under a lot of stress." And he doesn't say, "Off with your head," to God's messenger either. No. He simply confesses, I have sinned against the Lord. Immediately. His word of confession is met with a word of absolution. Nathan the prophet replies, the Lord has taken away your sin. Then and there. However, there are still consequences. While Nathan assures him, you are not going to die, he nevertheless continues, but the son born to you will die. David fasts and prays. But on the seventh day, the day before the child would have been circumcised and thus numbered among the sons of Israel, the prophecy is fulfilled. The baby dies. David's reaction is perplexing to those who watch him. He washes, puts on lotion, changes his clothes, worships the Lord, and goes and gets something to eat. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 22 and 23 contains these words. It says, his servants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him. But he will not return to me. There is so much there in that text that I could probably preach and teach on these words well beyond the time that you would want to be in bed tonight. But let me make 3 points about Bathsheba's baby. Number one, it died. Number two, it was not the baby's fault. Number three, David would go to the baby, but the baby would not return to him. And I make those 3 points because of the comparison and contrast they present to the other baby, whose birth we celebrate tonight. You see, at point number one, this baby too will die. No, he will not die as a baby, as one uncircumcised and never numbered among the children of Israel, but he will die outside of the city. He will die the death of an accursed one, for it is written, cursed is he who hangs upon a tree. In comparison to point number two, it is also true of the baby Jesus, that his death will not be his own fault. In fact, it will not even be the fault of merely one man. It will be the fault of the sin of the world. For this is what the angels say, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior, one who is called Emmanuel, God with us, specifically because he will save his people from their sins. He is born so that he can die. Not for his own sins, but for yours and mine and everyone's. And he is born in the city of David, a descendant of David and of Bathsheba by way of their son Solomon, who was born to them sometime after they were bereaved of the first one. What David had done was sinful. To whatever extent Bathsheba was complicit in it, that was sinful too. On account of David's sin, the sword never departed from him. He became known as a man of blood, and there were murders and adulteries and insurrections in his kingdom from that day forward. But none of this stayed the merciful hand of God. God not only overcame sin by sending Jesus to die for us, God even co-opted sin to bring the birth of Jesus about. And tonight we celebrate that he has come, born in the city of David, descended from David and the wife he so wickedly acquired. The source of David's forgiveness sprung from a marriage forged in sin. Those first two points are the comparison. The contrast comes at point number three. Remember how David says of his deceased baby, "I will go to him, but he will not return to me." What a contrast to the baby Jesus, born this night. This baby, when he is done living a perfect and sinless life in our place, and once he has died his atoning death on the cross to take away the sin of the world, he does return to us. What begins at Christmas and gets finished on Good Friday is crowned with glory on Easter Sunday. You are here tonight for the first chapter. Not to strong arm our guests too much, but come back for the rest of the book. I invite you to return, all of you, Sunday after Sunday, for all of the subsequent chapters, and for that glorious happy ending. We live in a fallen world. Would that David's sin were the only one we knew of. But we know better. We have our own sinful lives. And we have radios and the TV and the internet. And the consequences of sin. Pregnancies that fail in the eighth month. Birth defects, murders, divorces, betrayals, deceptions, rip-off financial deals, power-hungry politicians more interested in satisfying their own insatiable appetites for power than for serving their people, corrupt and or heretical ministers of the church. This is our world. We swim in these things. And there are plenty of people who suffer as a consequence of someone else's sin. Sins that they themselves had nothing, at least directly, to do with. Jesus has come to take it all. In the face of a world, and even our own hearts, that long for a God who is glorious and rides above it all, and if we can tap into Him just right, He'll pull us up above the mess too. The true and living God does it as only He would have thought to do it. He undertakes to redeem us by becoming one of us. His first breath in this world probably catches a whiff of barnyard animal smells. And so it begins. True God has become true man. Perfect man. The prototype of what humanity ought to be and what through faith in Him we shall yet become. Your sins will not stop Him. In fact, they are why He has come. Repent. Believe. He has come to take your sins away. As no mere figure of speech, I say, for heaven's sake, let Him have them. Sin still has its consequences in this world. But salvation is on its way. And in fact, as we know from having heard this story time and time again, it's already long since here. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.